Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, I have nothing to say about that particular voice. He's trying to sound like Mork.
Oh.
Okay. No, really, when you look at this here, or if it's not an X-Files case, it sounded like it was pretty close to it. Looking at it now, though, Irina, do you think this was just some kind of nut who was trying to cause problems, mayhem, or something more deliberate?
Well, I found out more about it recently because my sister found a letter she wrote to my mother recently. I mean, she found this letter she wrote to my mother when it happened, but she found the letter recently. And I asked her about the strange man, and she said that when I was loading my camera and everything, she said it seems like a long time for me to load a camera, and then that the object we were seeing was a long ways away. Well, that was the time that I'd been talking to the man, but she didn't seem to remember anything about talking to the man. And then also, which just recently made me think, gave me the creeps, and then when it happened, when I ran up the hill, well, she tried to stop me, and I kept telling her to guard the car from the man, and she didn't seem to know what I was talking about then. And so apparently he was talking to me, and she didn't know he was there. And when I pointed, normally if you point some, if somebody points and you can't see, you look in that direction. We look in the opposite direction. And all those three things, especially recently, realizing that maybe my sister didn't know he was there when I was talking to him, made me think that this is really creepy. It seems more creepy now than it did, because at first I thought I wasn't, you know, we were watching a UFO at the time having a close encounter, and then this creepy man was talking to me, and that seemed strange to start with, but now it even seems stranger than it ever did, because apparently my sister didn't know he was there. I mean, she remembered the car chase and everything, but she didn't seem to know he was there talking to me. So it's creepier than it was.
But we've seen similar cases like this with witnesses to UFO activity, where they'll be approached by creepy individuals, ask, you know, really stupid questions, sometimes even harassing and menacing questions, or they'll be approached by people after the event that seem to have knowledge of the sighting, even though the witness hadn't really told anybody else about it.
Yeah, well, this this is pretty creepy, and I also had a poltergeist experience that night, too. And I was a very sane person because I was working for the Defense Intelligence Agency. I had this real high clearance and everything else. And so I was certifiably not insane or anything like that.
Okay, now you're going to have to tell me about the poltergeist incident, because that's one of my fascinations.
The next night, I got home late because I'd taken some other coworkers up to New York, and I was waiting for them. They never showed up for some reason. But I went home and went to bed later, and I kept hearing somebody walking in my room. And I would hear, like, some footsteps, and then it was like a man with shoes on, and then the footsteps would be someplace else, and there's a little bit of light coming from a street light, but I couldn't see anybody. If I got close to the bed, I'd try to feel it, but I couldn't feel anybody. And I kept hearing somebody walk in my room. Well, then my alarm went off, and I thought it was the morning, and I got up, and then I started making breakfast, and I realized it was dark, and I looked at the clock, and it was 1:30, which wasn't when I got up for work. And I had this alarm clock with a broken thing you twist, and so I normally set it with pliers if I wanted to get it set on the right time. Otherwise, with my fingers, I could hardly set it. But I tried to approximately set it, and I had a 100-watt bulb by the bed, and I was terrified, and I went back to sleep, which is strange. I woke up again. The alarm went off and woke me up. It was 2:30. I sat right on the button, and I think I placed a chair against the door, and I was terrified. I went back to sleep again, and the same thing happened at 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and 5:30. And then I was in scientific work. I wasn't into, like, UFOs or anything else. I never heard of poltergeists. And I didn't know what was going on. And I thought I'd just gone crazy. And I was really worried about my clearance. And I was sitting on the bed wondering what I was going to do and how to disguise insanity at work. And my toothbrush just flung across the room and hit a wall. And then everything stopped and everything went back to normal. And that was it. It was pretty creepy, the whole thing.
That is. That's amazing. And I've had so many people who have had UFO experiences. And when I ask them if they've had, you know, anything else, you know, odd happen to them after the fact, not necessarily, you know, another UFO experience, I get so many responses almost identical to what you just told us. You know, a lot of people will say, well, what does that mean? And I'm like, your guess is as good as mine. You know, psychic harassment, I guess.
I have no idea.
It's just one of the many of thousands of aspects of the whole UFO phenomena, which makes it not so easy to get a firm grasp on.
No, and that night, I wouldn't have reported it due to my job, but I made real detailed notes about everything that happened, whether I understood them or not, and I kept the notes and rewrote them. I just wanted to make, you know, I planned to report it sometime when it was safe to, so I made good notes at the time.
Now, I don't remember, forgive me for this. Did your sighting occur around the same time that the Hudson Valley UFO flop was going on?
When was Hudson Valley?
Ooh, I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, this is 1980s, I think.
Yeah, it was before that.
Was it before that? Okay. All right. But before your sighting, I mean, you didn't really have any interest in UFOs?
Well, I had several sightings, but you weren't supposed to talk about them. And my parents didn't allow us to even think about them. You know, if you said anything about UFOs, everybody'd point at you and make fun of you.
Oh, sure.
So I didn't pay any attention. I didn't pay too much attention at the DIA either, even though I was identifying airplanes. I should have paid more attention.
But you have there's an interesting section in your book where you were talking about how, I guess, after you had taken some photographs at, was it Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, that you found yourself being harassed, or your house was being harassed by a jet plane.
Yeah, and I got a video of it, and I put it on YouTube, so if anybody wants to look at that, they can. I had taken been on base at Wright-Patterson in the secured area, and my employer had sent me. And so anyway, they have, you know, chain link fences and everything. You're not supposed to be there and all that. Well,
are you able to tell us what you were doing at Wright-Patterson?
Oh, just it was a conference. It didn't have anything to do with UFOs.
Nothing mysterious. Nothing sinister, but we're talking about Dr. Irina Scott's follow-up to the goings-on in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Yes.
Our guest co-host is Tim Swartz, and we never know what voice he's going to deliver us. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see what happens here? I say he's going to deliver a screwy voice, and he delivers a normal voice.
Yes.
Keep him guessing. That's what I always say.
Anyway, I had been in the secure area where you weren't supposed to be, but I was on base due to being on a conference, and I'd also been on base several other times the archivist of Roy Patterson invited me on. So I had taken pictures on base in the secured area, and we had a little UFO publication for our group back then. And so I published the pictures where I wasn't supposed to be, I guess. I didn't ask anybody. I just stuck around with a camera, and nobody told me not to, so I did. But anyway, not too long, a few days after the pictures were published, I heard this airplane, and I thought it dived on my house. It was just as loud as you could imagine. The house was shaking. Everything in the house was shaking, and I thought it was going to hit the house. And I didn't have any loaded cameras at the time, but I got a box camera loaded real fast and went out and took one picture. There was a jet plane that sounded like it just dive bomb the house, and also I'm near a recreation area, and there was a stunt pilot up also jet plane diving, and I took a picture of that, and then I ran back in as fast as I could and loaded video camera with a telephoto lens and ran back out, and I got a good picture of the airplane, which was a T-38, which is a supersonic trainer, and it was still circling, and you could hear the stunt pilot and the jet making a lot of noise. Well, yeah, I was sort of scared to death because I thought the thing was going to hit the house because, I mean, the house and everything was just shaking like crazy. So I climbed the fence, and the thing was still circling, and my neighbors were outside by their barn, and I yelled at them, "What's going on?" The neighbors said, "It dive-bombed your house." And so I had that on tape while the thing was still flying around, and I got a good picture of the airplane, too, with a telephoto. And it flew some time, and so I put it on YouTube. But anyway, it was the T-38, I mean, whatever it was, I knew what it was at the time, a supersonic, I think it was the only supersonic trainer ever, and it was an escort for the SR-71. And it flew around a while and circled and then left. But it was a military plane. I couldn't find any air shows or anything around. And I just wondered if that was a show of force or something. I think they were stationed at Wright-Patterson. And so I kind of wondered if that had anything to do with it. And I got the whole thing on video.
Yeah, and I've seen that video, by the way. I mean, it's you talking to your neighbors, and they're all looking kind of shocked themselves. You know, a jet like that should not be making that kind of low pass over a neighborhood. I mean, if it was enough to shake everybody's barns and houses, then there was something else going on there. Than just, you know, somebody out for their weekend training or whatever.
No, that's what I thought, too. And I was just lucky. I managed to get it all on film. And I was lucky my neighbors were out there. And while the jet was still circling and making sound, and I got that in the civilian plane and everything else, and I got it diving and got a real good close picture of it.
So you think that this may have been kind of a warning about, don't take pictures where you're not supposed to be taking pictures at a classifier.
Yeah, I
a location at Wright-Patterson where you shouldn't be taking pictures.
I mean, I don't know that, but I at least got the pictures, and I was very happy with that. So, you know, if I just said it, nobody would believe me, but I got
Well, no, and it's interesting that that would happen to you when it comes to just taking some, you know, pictures of what could be a classified area, you know, a nondescript area of Wright-Patterson, when all of the work that you have done over the years, it's excellent work, by the way, when it comes to the research of UFOs, have you gotten any kind of harassment along that aspect, you know, any phone calls, you know, late at night saying, you know, like your typical Men in Black spiel, you know, drop all UFO study.
I don't know because, like, I did a UFO podcast about a week ago, and a helicopter came up and circled my house and went back, and I just put that on Facebook because I got a picture of the helicopter and I got a picture of the track at me. But, you know, you just don't know. So I just reported it, but there's no way to tell if it had anything to do with anything.
Well, again, that's one of the frustrating things about when you research the UFO phenomena, because you do have people who think it's just a big joke to call up a UFO researcher and tell them that they saw lights in the sky, or even worse, threaten their lives. So it's hard to distinguish what is just something that's happening by coincidence and what could actually be an unusual type of threat.
Well, I try to photograph everything I possibly can, but that's the best I can do.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that you're working on a new book now that's going to be coming out next year. Do you want to give us a hint on what that book is going to be about?
Well, I'm writing it with Philip Mannell, who has done most of it, and it's about the additional witnesses of Pascagoula, and we're finding witnesses still, and there's new information on it, and that's mainly what it's about.
So now, have these witnesses, have they come about because of your previous books, this book and some of the others?
Yeah, he's been looking for witnesses, and then he's advertised and put on Facebook, and he's looked on every little tiny thing you can find to see if you witnesses, and looked through papers and everything else, and found more.
Wow, that to me is amazing, because here we have an incident that happened where you thought that, it happened in isolation, that there were only two men involved and that was it. And now, thanks to some really diligent work by yourself and others, you're uncovering all kinds of new, excellent information.
Yeah. And like, with that sound, before I couldn't find out too much information about it, but now you can, with the internet, you can look through and find newspapers, so I can get an idea of its timing and its general location.
Irena Scott, Gene Steinberg, and Tim Schwartz, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. COVID-19 metrics in southern states like Florida have plummeted in recent weeks, while rising in many northern states, including heavily vaccinated ones. Confirmed COVID-19 cases in Mississippi, for instance, have plunged some 95%. Similar drops have been recorded in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Florida, and Texas. A 16-year-old high school girl was arrested and her entire school locked down at Laramie High School in Wyoming, all over her refusal to wear a face mask.
Once again, we are in a lockdown. Please stay in your rooms until further notice. Thank you. This entire building now is in lockdown. So you have now restricted the movement of over 1,000 students who are not allowed to leave their classrooms because you're trying to get back into the classroom, which you are not allowed to do because you've been suspended. Okay?
This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump returned to Iowa Saturday for his first visit to the state after losing the presidential election in November, launching a multi-front assault on President Joe Biden and congressional Democrats he said were taking the nation to the brink of ruin.
Silent. They don't talk about that. They hate to talk about that. Can you imagine if I were president and had these numbers? And, you know, some people thought, first of all, he didn't get elected. Okay, forget that. But some people said, oh, sir, it was COVID.
Former President Donald Trump endorsed U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley for re-election. Hundreds of firefighters in Los Angeles have filed a notice of intent to sue the city over its public employee vaccine mandate. The notice filed on October 7th said that the 871 firefighters are seeking $2.5 million each in damages. This is USA Radio News.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Interesting thing about being able to do research now. Everything is online. You have a decent internet connection, fine. Of course, the internet doesn't discriminate between facts, semi-facts, and fiction.
Well, I was looking for newspapers back in those days, so I mainly used newspapers like from the next day after the sound. And there were a lot of newspaper headlines that I could find now that I hadn't found before where I could get information about it. And also, there was more information published about sonic booms and things like that by NASA so that I could get an idea of what type of sound an airplane makes and what's normal and what's abnormal and that sort of thing, too.
I find the whole incident of the sound interesting because, let's see, on page 247, you have a map that shows the map of an SR-71 Blackbird that flew from Illinois to Griffith Air Force Base in New York, causing a sonic boom felt over a large number of Midwestern and Northeastern states. And I would have been living just like in central Indiana, right in the middle of that. But, my memory... And I usually have pretty good memory from around that time. I don't remember that at all, unfortunately.
Well, I just used the newspaper articles, and there were a lot of newspaper articles that I could find now that it made the front pages in a lot of newspapers.
If anything now, there are far fewer real physical newspapers than they were, you know, 47 years ago, 48 years ago. Then you had newspapers everywhere. Now, if the paper has survived, it's owned by a large corporation, and most of what appears in that newspaper is syndicated material.
Yeah, so I could find, you know, little tiny newspapers and big newspapers that reported it. So I was lucky, you know, to get hard printed news on it.
Well, it does seem funny that you had this, whatever the sound was, on the very same evening that you had the Pascagoula. event, October 11th.
And that's why I was interested for two reasons. It was very strange, and it's unknown what caused the sound. It wasn't, it didn't fit the characteristics of a sonic boom. Mm-hmm. And the authorities first explained it as a sonic boom from an SR-71, but the SR-71 wasn't any place near where the thing was heard. And then they explained it as a meteor, and earth-grazing meteor, but I could calculate, get a good calculation of its speed, and it was way below the speed of a earth-grazing meteor. So it didn't fit much of anything, and there were a lot of witnesses. So I thought this was pretty interesting in a way, because they always say UFO phenomena or poltergeist or whatever doesn't have a lot of witnesses, but this did, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you dedicate, I mean, a large portion, especially near the end of the book, in just all kinds of fascinating information about the different locations that the sound was heard and the differences between the reports and what an actual, you know, strange patterns. You said the pattern of the sound was more widespread than an aircraft sonic boom. You know, have you uncovered any similar incidents like this after this?
No.
Hmm.
Kicksburg was sort of like it, but it...
That was years earlier.
Yeah, not too... Yeah. It wasn't like this because nobody saw anything and nobody knew what caused the sound.
Yeah, odd, though, because the Kicksburg, that's, I mean, kind of roughly over the same areas, though. Ohio, Pennsylvania, those locations.
Very roughly. Mm-hmm. But people saw something with Kicksburg.
Right.
And nobody saw anything.
Well, that's... I mean, and I suppose that this is just speculation on on your part. Have you drawn any conclusions from all of this research? I mean, you know, you just have so much excellent research on this. What do you think? What do you think happened? What was going on?
I don't know, because there was a flap at that time. And I just couldn't say, but I mean, I was happy that I had enough data that I could calculate roughly where it was and roughly the time and speed and everything else. And there should have been millions of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speculating it was something that was invisible to radar, and that if it just had its light turned off, it was night. So if it was something flying with its lights turned off, nobody would have seen it, but it's the sound wasn't like a sonic boom. It was way too wide for a sonic boom, and it didn't sound like a sonic boom. So it was just strange that it would happen the same time as the abduction and all these other things. Plus, in Ohio, there was there were all these witnesses down in Pascagoula, but there was a sort of a flap in Ohio at the same time, and that was interesting. And it seemed to be like a lot of it was kind of over, like, military installations and things like that, such as going over Washington, D.C., which is loaded with, you know, in all kinds of military and, like, observatories and different things like that. So I quoted one thing as saying that it might have been a show of force by aliens when... right before the war was about to start, a world war or something like that. But that was pure speculation.
But yeah, if that was the case, why over the Midwest and not over the Mideast, where the actual hotspot was actually taking place?
Well, the United States was well armed with nuclear weapons.
I suppose that if there had been something like that happened over the Mideast at that time, that could have created a flashpoint, and then all the rockets would have started flying then.
Well, the Israel was aligned with the United States, and Egypt and the other countries aligned with Russia. And so, you know, there was alignments. If something had really gone wrong, there would be a nuclear war. And I think that's why they had the alert, the nuclear alert at that time.
Right. It was, what, DEFCON 3, I think, wasn't it, at the time?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's that's too close for comfort. Well, and the other interesting thing about this, the pattern of the sound that you reported, you know, you said that there was a lot of UFO activity in Ohio. I know for a fact that in Indiana, just like right underneath where the sound was heard, a lot of UFO activity, a lot of the strange entity sightings as well were reported, starting from around the 11th through the most of the month of October.
Yeah, and it was a real flap, too, because, like, there was a scientist named Harley Rutledge in Missouri, and he studied that whole time frame from, like, April 1973 on for continuing on way past 1974 and other years, and he could detect a real flap there around around October, where everything increased and it decreased. And so you had, you know, a thing like that as an independent observer beyond the newspapers and everything.
Let's do our break here. Irina Scott, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartz. You never know what Tim's going to do. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The Ringling Brothers Circus now.
Irina Scott's joining us. We're talking about her new book, Beyond Pascagoula, the rest of the amazing story. All the nooks and crannies, all the things that happen around it, all the other events, the sonic booms, everything, all the strange cases back to 73. At this point, looking at this so many years later, do you get a better sense of what was going on then, or is it still just one huge set of mysteries?
Well, it looked like a lot was going on. It looked like a real flap for some unknown reason. And I was quite interested in the sound. I know that's sort of weird, but it was something with a lot of witnesses that was still unexplained, and it was a huge sound in territory about the second largest recorded. And so I think it was interesting because there's this huge sound. Nobody could explain it, but then people just forgot about it too.
Other than obviously the abductions, is there a comparable year since then?
I don't know, because you can report things on the internet and all kinds of things now, so I don't know if you can compare it to 1973. For those years, though, up until about the 1990s, before the internet and everything, I think it was considered the biggest flap that ever happened, and I don't know if you can compare it to today.
Well, it's certainly far easier for people to report things and far easier for people to fake things.
Yeah.
So there's no comparison. It's just that when you go back to Hickson and Parker and all the cases there, with regard to abductions, nothing resembles the abductions that occurred after that. That's what's so weird about it.
Or before either.
Right. It was a singular set of events that were not repeated. There's a theory on the part of some people that UFOs came and went, and that in subsequent years, the sightings have conventional explanations and maybe some are test aircraft. Of course, that takes us to the current flapdoodle or whatever it is over the Pentagon UAP task force and their report, which pretends that there were no sightings until 2004.
Well, I think there were sightings and everything before that. And
well, we know that.
They're saying that this is because, like, in 1952, there were radar visuals. Even clear back in the 1947, I think there were radar visual sightings. So I think, I'm really glad they're finally paying attention to it and saying this is hard to explain, but I think that's happened over the years, too, also.
Oh, I remember there was a whole book written what was it called, like the October scenario, October surprise, something like that, that basically said that there had been no actual UFO sightings before October 73 and then none afterwards, that it all happened. Everything happened then.
That was the one and only event of extraterrestrial or whatever happening then, and that none before, none after had been real.
Well, then some people have lots of explaining to do. What happened to Washington National Airport in 1952? Forget about Kenneth Arnold, because the one thing about Kenneth Arnold is his estimate of the speed of the craft he saw. If they were slower than what he thought, there'd be other explanations. And then there's Roswell. But then that's a can of worms. I don't want to get into that. Unless you want to, Irina. Do you have a view on Roswell, or would you rather stay away from that?
It's complicated.
Oh, I like that excuse. You know, if you want to hear a reasonable thing about Roswell, last week's episode featuring Barry Greenwood, he gives you his unvarnished opinion, where he says that a lot of the evidence that came out starting in the late 70s, you may want to ignore.
Of Roswell?
Yes. Yes. Actually, I think if you were going to talk about Roswell even briefly, and we won't really get into it in any detail, although I know there's a new book that Philip Mantle has published on the subject from two well-known Roswell authors, there is a book called Roswell in the 21st Century, where Kevin Randall looked over the Roswell evidence and came to suggest that some of the evidence that people had accepted, such as whether beings of some sort were seen, don't hold up so well. He thinks something really happened, but he also thinks that a large portion of evidence doesn't have the support that maybe he had hoped for.
Yeah, I think I read that book.
See, I still think, when I look at it all these years later, that if they really had a spaceship recovered and take it away, we'd have heard something to indicate we had this advanced alien aircraft. Except for the crazy theory I mentioned in the Paracast newsletter, by the way, and I know you two probably don't know, I suggested that if Roswell involved a spaceship, what would E.T. do about it? Would they come to Earth, allow one of their advanced craft, even a scout ship, to crash, and do nothing? How could that be? Wouldn't they want to act to recover their technology? Imagine Captain Kirk if the Enterprise got caught in Star Trek. If the Enterprise gets caught by a more primitive race, do you allow it? Of course you don't. I just think that kind of stretches logic. And I think that if it involved a spacecraft, E.T. would have recovered it, and that's the real mystery. We don't have it anymore.
Well, I wrote an article many years ago with Gene Sider, who was a French ufologist. We said was that if Roswell was real, that it might have been a plant. It was kind of the Cold War, and maybe they wanted to unite us against the aliens or do something that made us think they were aliens or something like that. It was kind of planted and not real, if there was anything.
Well, maybe a test to see how we'd react to the crash landing of a spacecraft. I suppose that could be a possibility. It just seems suspicious to me that we've had nothing. We pretend it doesn't exist. We now have a new government investigation. Pretends it doesn't exist. And if we recovered advanced technology hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, something somewhere would have leaked. I'm not talking about the day after Roswell, the book from Philip Corso. Hey, we're just about out of time, but we're going to have you stick with us for after the Paracast. But for now, tell our listeners where we can find more of your information.
Well, my books are all for sale on Amazon.com, and I have a website, irinascott.com, and you can look at the books there and click on them, and it goes right to Amazon.com. So just look on Amazon.com and order my books. They're excellent books.
Actually, they are. Beyond Pascagoula, the rest of the amazing story is the latest one, just out. And Tim Swartz, what are you up to?
You can find all of my books on Amazon.com, as well as my website, ConspiracyJournal.com. I'd also like to mention that Tim Beckley's final book, Dulce Warriors, is also now available on Amazon.com.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check us out on Facebook. Look for the Paracast. They've got some weird problem going on with the URL for the Paracast.com on Facebook, but otherwise you can check our information. We have branded merchandise, by the way. Paracast logos and such, the T-shirts, the jackets, the caps, the throw pillows, all that good stuff. Go to theparacast.shop. That is theparacast.shop for more information. We also have the Paracast Plus, a special subscription service where we offer the After the Paracast podcast, where Irina Scott's going to be back. And I'm not going to ask Tim Swartz to do his Arnold impression. And we'll talk further. We also give you this show free of the network ads for a low subscription rate. All you have to do to check out more and sign up, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. If you use the coupon code UFO20 with a lifetime subscription, we give you 20% off. Irina Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.